Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to America Matters Radio with Brian Hirsch and my new co-host, Mr. Bill Elmore. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
This is going to be an interesting evening.
I'm hoping so. We got a really good response to our post today. A lot of people say they're going to call in. I really hope they do.
I hope they do, too. That's what we're here for. We're here to get their voices out.
Yeah.
And we are going to have our Infinite Source Angel Eva working our switchboard this evening. Welcome, Eva.
Thank you, kind sir. How y'all doing? How you doing, Brian?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. Weekend's over, but what are you going to do? Well, would you like to give our listeners some info?
If there is anybody interested in calling into the show, if you have a question or comment, the phone number is 319-527-6092. Again, 319-527-6092. And if you do want to chime in, please press 1. That will indicate to us that you want to go live. So yes, feel free.
Please, please, please call in and join us tonight. Bill Elmore, ex-IBM executive, founder of Solomon Global Financial Services, and my co-host. It's an honor to have you with us, young man.
Thank you. I actually added that to my bio, too.
Fantastic.
I'm up to date.
I did notice that, Bill. I was creeping on your page today.
Well, that's good. That just drives up my engagement.
Right? I've been doing a lot of research and a lot of hunting this week.
Well, God,
a lot of stuff will be going
so
down this week, I have a feeling.
There's so much to talk about, you know?
Too much. There shouldn't be this much to talk about. We should have bored lives.
This is true. I actually did
a
post today.
15 years ago, I'd be a radio show host. Not me.
Amazing.
It's crazy.
So what do you think you'll be in 2 years from now?
I ain't even going to try to predict that.
Politician?
I don't know if they would like what I have to say.
I'll say 1 week ago, I didn't think I'd be a co-host on a radio show. But I got the bug.
Right. We got to get that message out there, Bill.
Yeah. Absolutely. I believe in the cause, that's for sure. That's why I want to do it.
Well, welcome to the family, young man.
Good to be here.
I get to caucus for President Trump in January. This is awesome.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
I'm honored. I'm shaking like a leaf. I'm honored.
That's how it should be.
I never in my life thought I would be involved in politics until 2016. Mm. And then he ran. I watched his video. You know, I watched while he was on The Apprentice. And I even went to his casino a few times. But I watched the video when I believe it was Oprah asked him if he would become president. And he said he never thought about it, but he would if the American people needed him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's stuck in my head from day one.
I did not know how opinionated, I would say, about politics he was until after he became president. And I saw an old video like 20 years old, about him talking about what's wrong with the country and what we should do different. And his message was the same then as it was in 2016. And it was amazing.
Well, I look back at what he said then and everything he's been through from the time he came down that escalator to now.
Right.
I believe every word he said in that video.
Yep.
Who in the hell would want to go through what he's gone through if he wasn't going to fight for us?
Exactly.
Nobody in their right mind, and that's for damn sure.
And many people would have given up, especially, you know, in his position. He's got businesses. He's a billionaire. He doesn't have to put up with this stuff. Many people would have given up, and his tenacity is admirable.
But, see, that's where he got where he is, because he never gives up. He's like
he
a pit bull.
He never gave up. Well, if you like, I'll share my kind of personal emotional roller coaster, you know, pre-2016 that I went through when I found out it was Hillary Clinton. It was either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, right? And not that I had anything against Donald Trump, but I had, I guess, a similar reaction to most people, or a lot of people, that he's not a politician. He's a billionaire, runs casinos and these type of things, and, you know, he's a reality TV show host. You know, it's like this country's becoming a reality TV show. And little did I know how much that became true.
Right.
But, you know, when it came down to it for me, I had to wrap my head around the fact that, hey, well, I'm a businessman. He's a businessman. He's not a politician. Maybe that's a good thing. You know, somebody could get in this country and run it like a business. Logically, let's not get trillions of dollars in debt.
Well, see, it's just common sense. Who better to run the executive branch of our government than one of the best executives on the planet?
Right. So that's how I kind of jumped on board. And then, you know, when he started talking about draining the swamp and then he started to drain the swamp, he just didn't know how deep that swamp was. It all made sense to me. I really got on board and said, yeah, this is what's needed. People hate him because of his mean tweets. He's not acting presidential, right? He's not politically correct. He's not. He's actually being honest instead
he's
of a lying politician, right?
He's not
playing the game.
He's an actual leader.
Right, exactly. And he took that on the world stage, went to all the, you know, foreign countries that we give our money to and said, if you keep treating us this way, guess what? No more money. Right.
Exactly.
Held,
the art of the deal.
Right. Held people accountable, got us out of wars. Right. It became, and I think one of the biggest ways he got us out of wars is he made us energy independent. Right.
Yeah.
The vast majority of wars, almost all the wars we were in, is because we were trying to protect our oil sources, those people who provided oil to us. And if we could provide our own
question.
Oil.
Who was the last president that actually made the kind of peace agreement that he made in the Middle East? When was the last time we had a president do that?
Did we have a president that did that before?
Exactly.
I mean, to the extent that he did. I don't think we ever had a president that did that.
Not one.
Yeah, not one. Yeah, that's a miracle. I mean, that was a miracle.
He had them buying our oil.
Right.
I mean, come on.
And accepting Israel. Right.
That was big for me.
So that. Oh, So I think, I don't know, I'm a Trump supporter. Let me come out of the closet. If you haven't
yeah. yeah, I don't think you were in. Not from where I see, anyway.
I know it's going to shock thousands of people.
Right?
Only if you haven't seen my ex account. But, if they could just, and everybody in my family, my brothers and sisters are all staunch Democrats and all jumped on the bandwagon of, you know, Orange Man bad. He said mean things, said disgusting things. Well, yeah, well, all of us have, you know, I've got a history, right? We've all done things, said things we regret. But the things that really upset them is the stuff he's just saying that's truthful, right? Of course,
that's
his Rosie O'Donnell comment kind of set them off as well. Yeah, he's just a mean person. Okay, well, just look at their accomplishment. Look at their accomplishments, right?
I think she was. I think she was spotted swimming to Canada.
No, that was an orca.
Well,
but
motto.
Yeah, but again, I guess as a business person, I always measure by results.
Exactly.
If I had employees and bosses who were mean, or you know, you just don't like them, okay. But it's business. What did you do? What have you accomplished? And I made a post the other day. Somebody kind of documented in time on, you know, November 7th, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what oil, this is what gas costs today. This is what the inflation is. This is what the Dow Jones is. This is these things, and I'm just documenting it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I found that online and reposted it, and you know, $1.20 to $2 a gallon in gas. I mean,
well,
it was unheard of.
I have to say I'm thankful about here in Northwest Iowa because we're down to $2.99 a gallon.
Wow.
I
thought I hit the gold mine the other night when I went to fill up my tank and I found $3.33. And it was just over the border in Vermont. And I'm like,
you might be
yeah.
taking caller bill.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, we have area code 208. You are on the line.
Oh, wow. That's me.
Yes, ma'am. How are
hi.
You?
Hi. Good. I didn't want to interrupt you because I'm listening to you talk, but I did want to call in and say to you, Brian, thank you so much for this week helping me try to get the word out about Victoria White.
You're so
lovely. I really, really appreciate it. She's a January 6er who got beat up terribly bad, and now they're going to put her in jail. Her sentencing is tomorrow. So I really appreciate you helping me get the word out.
Anything we can to help these people. We need to get these people out. They do not belong where they are. The ones doing the accusing are the ones that belong in prison.
Absolutely.
What's your name?
Do you want my Twitter name or my real name?
Well,
that is entirely up to you.
I'd like to help you get the word out as well.
So on Twitter, my name is Just Y, and I just have a post out about Victoria White, but you can find her. If you just look her up, you can find her. There's articles out there and stuff
sure
about
that
it.
He gets the post.
Okay.
And
awesome.
He gets shared at least twice tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's kind of run out of steam, but I'm not very big, so.
No, we're going to get it moving again.
Well,
that's
awesome.
We'll get it moving again.
That's our goal, is to give people a voice. And if I can help on X do that, I absolutely love it. You know, as long as I agree with the message, obviously.
Yeah.
100%.
That's why I got on it, actually.
Well, you guys are just totally awesome, and I wanted to say thank you so much. I do have a little backstory about Trump, since you were talking about him, if you want to hear.
Sure, go for it.
So about 15 years ago, my sister was in a really bad relationship, and he almost killed her. She went to the hospital, and they took her to a woman's shelter. And while she was waiting, the lady got called away, and she just started looking around at what was on the desk, and there was a check from Donald Trump. And it was quite a bit of money, and this was a little no-name place in the middle of Indiana. There was no reason he should have sent that money there, but he actually donates a lot more than people think he does.
There are hundreds of stories of him doing just that. Really is a gentleman.
I just shared a video, I think it was yesterday. He was doing a rally at, I think it was one of his hotels, and there was a young lady in the audience who was, she was retired military, and she was a career woman, and he called her right up on stage and did a job interview right there, hired her.
Oh, I saw that.
Wow.
Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah, this is the kind of guy that we need running our country.
Yes, definitely.
Again.
Yes. Anyway, so thank you for letting me have the time, but I'll just go back to listening. Thank you.
No problem.
Well, I'll find you, and I'll follow you, and I'll help you get that message out.
Awesome. Thank
you. All right.
Sorry, I muted her just before she was about ready to hang up, so... yes, Brian, if you could send me her information also, I'd greatly appreciate it. And
sure,
Donald
do.
Trump, I mean, he does things out of the kindness of his heart. I believe that it is out of the kindness of his heart, and he doesn't expect anything in return.
No.
I remember one time I read this story about him, and he had a flat tire and somebody changed it for him, and Donald Trump asked, you know, what can I do? And he says, well, can you send my wife some flowers? And he ended up sending him a car too.
Oh my.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yes. But that is great. I mean, Trump made a lot of bozo no-nos by keeping all the leftovers from past administrations, you know, barking in his ear.
I think that's where his newness came in. He trusted the wrong people.
He did trust the wrong people.
But that was because
and hopefully... when he gets into office his second time around, that he learned his lesson.
Yeah, I don't think you get to fool me twice with him.
He should have arrested Nancy Pelosi right then and there for her shenanigans at the State of the Union address.
Yep.
And he needs to get tough. He got tough with other countries, you know, tariffs for China, et cetera, et cetera. But not tough enough when it came to his own acquaintances, his staff.
Well, we know he's going to get back into the White House, but what we need to really focus on, we got the Congress. What we need to focus on is getting Schumer and Moscow Mitch out of the Senate. Because it does not matter what they pass in Congress, it will never pass the Senate.
Right.
Right.
Right, right, right. And, you know, Mitch McConnell, he's married to a Chinese woman. And so he has it in with China. And Schumer is... Schumer is just a
Schumer's
joke,
just
man. He's a pedophile, and they're pretty much all of them are pedophiles. And people admire these people. I saw a little clip with Barbara Streisand, and she was like praising Pedo Quid Pro Joe, and
well, they're already talking about going to Canada.
Yeah, you
well,
know.
Bye.
Okay, I'm sick of the talk. I want
again,
right?
Because again, it's like womp 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 womp.
Yeah,
I was driving.
Every time I hear it, I hear Charlie Brown's mom. Good Lord.
You know, but and you know, Donald Trump, he back in the day he was anti-vaxxer too.
Yep.
Hmm.
And then all of a sudden you have Dr. Weasel. He reminds me of a rat. Fauci.
He looks like a rat.
And
oh
he
my
does,
God.
Doesn't he? You know, barking in his ear and all
it wouldn't
these
be
people.
Hard to, it wouldn't be hard to caricature him into a rat and put him as the poster boy for the Demon Rat Party.
Right.
That would make
right.
That would be perfect.
Well, you know that cartoon Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely insane. And
trying to take over the world.
That's Biden
yeah.
and Fauci.
Exactly.
Pinky in the Brain is Biden and Fauci. Get the hell out.
You know, and it's
wow.
It's so scary though, the world that we're living in right now. I knew it was all inevitable, but honestly, I did not think it was going to happen in my lifetime. I thought it would have happened in my great 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 grandchild's lifetime.
No.
And I don't even have any grandkids.
How is that birthday, Bill?
What's that?
How was that birthday celebration?
Oh, it was amazing. I love Thai food. And I found a very fancy Thai restaurant in Vermont. It's in a bed and breakfast. And actually, they had just opened up. It was an interesting experience. They had just opened up, and I was their first customer. And I said, it's my birthday, and I want to celebrate. And it's run by the owner and his wife, and they just catered to me the whole time. And
nice.
Asked me what I was doing for Thanksgiving, and I just said, well, I'm really not doing anything because I'm caring for my brother. You know, he's in the hospital, so I'm away from my family. So I'll be alone on Thanksgiving. And they said, well, we were doing a private party for just like 12 people. And we'd love for you to come back. And I'm like,
wow.
Twist my
arm. Oh,
awesome.
Oh, how nice.
Awesome food.
Now,
so that's where I'll be on Thanksgiving.
You seen that video that I sent you this afternoon of our countryside out here in Northwest Iowa?
Oh, absolutely. Beautiful.
Now, we have a Japanese steakhouse out here in Sioux City. Fantastic place. You got to try it.
Yeah, sounds good. I got to get
food.
Out there.
The chefs are
beautiful.
Funny as all get out, too. Good comedy routine, too. But the food is just phenomenal.
Wow.
How's
yeah,
your brother
so
been feeling?
Thanks for asking. I did that. I did a movie. And then and my brother, actually, he's not communicating with me for the last couple of days. He got moved to Worcester for rehab, but while they had him there, they're looking at his liver and his heart, and they're sending him to all these specialists in different places, and he left his phone in rehab.
Oh, Lord. So
I gotta wait for him to get back to rehab to return my call or drive where I'm at now. It's about a 2-hour drive to Worcester, and I don't want to go there and find out he's not there.
Right.
So I'm just waiting for him to get back to me.
Damn it.
Hmm.
That not knowing is I don't do that well.
Yeah, I'm not good with silence. I'm not good with radio silence.
Family health. Not mine, yeah, I don't care. Families, no.
Yeah.
I lost my brother 2 years ago, and he just turned 60.
Oh, my.
He had a lot of underlying issues, and he, unfortunately, chose alcohol over life, which is sad.
Yeah.
That's what took him. I quit 15 years ago, and I've been better for it ever since.
It takes a lot of people's lives and ruins families.
Yes, sir, it does. Unfortunately, it ends up taking a lot of veterans' lives, too.
Yeah.
That's something that I worry about as well. I have too many family members and too many friends that are veterans that, I mean, I watch veterans get tossed to the wayside every day for these illegal aliens coming through our southern border.
It is sinful.
It shouldn't be happening.
It is sinful how our veterans are treated.
Very.
That's another thing Trump did very well. He treated the military well, got them pay raises, and took care of the veterans.
He did.
Biden did to our military.
Right.
I mean, they can't even get recruits anymore.
Well, I mean, look at what Miley did to the military.
Oh my God. I don't know how that guy became a general.
He's wearing all those pins, and he didn't even serve in one war.
He was the guy that was in the rear with the gear.
I'm dumbfounded. I'm dumbfounded as to how this country has gone to hell in a handbasket.
It's interesting. You mentioned the pins. I saw a side-by-side picture of him and Patton, right? General Patton.
Right.
You know, he may have had 3 pins on his, chest. And then you look at Miley and, that's all he has. You know, it's like he's got a bulletproof jacket on because of all the pins he has on him. And what did he do to earn those? Nothing.
Boy Scouts get a lot of merit badges, too.
Yeah. And they earn them, though.
Yeah, I was
one. I was going to say, I ran the Boy Scouts for a while. And yeah, they earn
the
those. Oh, my God. That's a great accomplishment, Brian. Very few people can do that.
That was
I admire that.
Go to galaxies far, far away.
I hired a person when I worked at the Prudential. I hired a young man who didn't finish college, but he was an Eagle Scout. And
yep.
I said, I value that, and he had a very hard work ethic and did very well and did better than the people I hired that, did finish college.
Well, sure. My dad, when I was younger, he told me, don't limit yourself to one profession. Try to learn as much as you can about as many different professions and things as you can. That way your demand will never go away. You'll always be able to find work. No matter where you go or what you do, you'll be able to find work.
But today they don't encourage that. Look at schools. Oh my gosh, the indoctrination centers. You get a participation trophy and just for showing up. And it is
I think how we need to teach these Ivy League elite colleges a little lesson is take the funding away from them and put it towards trade schools.
And I do agree with you on that, Brian. 100%, because you get more out of a trade school than you do out of years and years of indoctrination. And
but the nice thing about a trade school is there's no student loan, because the person that's learning that trade would be able to pay it back.
Right, exactly. Exactly. But they want everybody in debt because, again, you know, they go running to daddy government to take care of them, and it's totally, completely ridiculous. I'm going to give this your show a shout-out again, Brian. If there are any listeners that would like to call into the show, the phone number is 319-527-6092. Again, 319-527-6092. If you do want to chime in, please press 1. And back to you, Brian.
Thank you very much, young lady. And we are here with my new co-host, Bill Elmore. And we've been talking about the shite that's been going on in this country. What do you think, Bill? What do you think of it? You think we need to disband the Board of Education or what?
Oh, I felt that for a long time. I don't know why they even were banded to begin with. They've done nothing but destroy
our education. Two three-letter agencies that could use that.
Exactly. They've done nothing but really destroy our education and focus it on the wrong things. And take away the power from the parents where it really belongs.
They turn them into domestic terrorists.
Yep.
That's how they label them anyway.
They'd like to, yeah.
I call it mom and dad. That's how I was raised.
I think that they should also, this is what my old co-host, God bless his soul, he is since passed away. Michael, you are sorely missed. But he came up with a brilliant idea. You know how when you go to get your driver's license, then they bug you to be on do jury duty? Well, I think that they, or he thought that they should have the same premise as for Congress and Senate. You know, make everybody have their civic duty to serve as a congressperson or a senator, and there are term limits, and then as soon as your term limit is up, then it's on to the next person.
I think that's a great idea. I also like how European countries, Israel, have everybody that's 18 serves a year in service mm-hmm. as well.
Doesn't Switzerland do that too?
Yeah, I think the majority of the European countries do that.
They should.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about Biden's military.
Yeah, I don't want you to become this all-inclusive military that
Lord
they're trying to build. It's to really teach you discipline and a sense of honor and you know,
brotherhood.
Basically serve your country, you know.
Brotherhood, sense of duty, sense of honor, sense of discipline.
Absolutely.
Most of all,
I think that would change. I think that would change the fabric of our youth if they, you know, had to do that.
Yeah. In a heartbeat. But only if they get trained like they got trained back in the day, or like they train in Israel.
Absolutely.
Not this. Cry every time you get yelled at shit.
Or join
my dad was an airborne paratrooper. He was crazy enough to jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
Yeah.
I asked him one time, I said, we were sitting in the bar having a drink, and I said, whatever possessed you to do that? He said, because they told me I could. Okay, that's good enough for me. Nope. I never questioned him. He's my hero.
I think we're
that's the way that is.
I think we all need to be pushed beyond what we think our limits are. You know what I mean? And shown that you will survive. Yeah.
I don't think we have limits. I think we put limits on ourselves.
I agree.
Put limits on ourselves. Then you have to sit and rely on other people. No. I don't want to owe anybody anything.
No, okay. What do you guys think about women in the military, in the front lines, on the front lines?
Well, first, if you look at Israel, it's male and female. Everybody who turns 18 serves that 1 year. I saw a picture today on X that of a mall in Israel, and these two young women, you know, in casual clothes, but they had, you know, a military rifle over their shoulders. They're shopping in the mall.
This is how I'll say that. You ever seen a mother bear defending her young?
Right.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Now, I disagree. I don't believe that women should be on the front line just due to the fact that, you know, a lot of them still menstruate, so they're going through that time of the month, and they're very moody, and a man's natural instinct is to protect a woman. So if she breaks a nail and she starts crying over a broken nail, then it defeats the man's purpose of doing his job.
Well, now see, I don't think those type of women would join the military to begin with.
Okay, but what if there's a draft? And women get drafted? Well, heck, you have men that are transitioning into a woman.
I was going to say that. I've seen some very moody young men these days. I would say, you know, you take that mood and you focus it towards the enemy, you know.
Exactly.
I understand what you're saying, and I think it's obviously more dangerous just from, you know, just because of the evilness, you know, in the enemy.
It could be more dangerous from a tactical standpoint about making decisions, too.
But look at the history of Joan of Arc, right? And some of the most vicious, competent, disciplined, you know, warriors were women.
Cleopatra.
And you go back to, you know, the I'm having a mind block, but the Vikings, right? The Vikings. Uh-huh. The women fought in the Viking armies, you know, and they're all throughout their history.
They're some of the most fierce women on the planet.
Yeah, I think they're capable, and I think it's possible. I agree, it's not for everybody. It's like it's not for every man. There's some very soft men that may not belong on the front line, you know, because you're only putting your other soldiers at risk. But
exactly.
But I think they're capable of doing it, you know, if they have the right, you know, attitude.
If they feel that they want to make that decision for themselves, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think that's what it should be. I don't think you should throw somebody on the front line that absolutely doesn't have the skills, ability, or mental capacity to do the job.
We are going to take a caller, Mr. Bill. We have caller 302. You're on the line.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, here he is. Mr. Phil, how you doing?
Good. I'm just calling in, checking in on you. I've been listening. Now, women shouldn't be on the front lines. They got to pee. You know, it's, you know, you don't want to be them digging a little foxhole to do their business, you know, while war's breaking out, you know. I think they'd be a good asset as far as helping out supply chains and stuff like that.
Y'all got to meet some of the women that I know, because some of the women that I know are hell of a shot.
Right. I know the women bikers, you know, truck drivers, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Some of the women I know, yeah, I don't think many men would have the wavos to say that to them.
Right.
And some of them women are even my nieces. They're Southern Florida girls.
Yeah, plus if I was fighting, I don't know if, you know, you'd be so worried about the women, you wouldn't be able to focus on your mission.
And that's what I was saying.
Yeah,
you know,
because it's
that protectiveness that men.
Yeah,
are,
you're so worried about them getting hurt.
Right.
Just natural instinct.
Natural instinct. Save the women and children first. Your natural instinct's going to be save the women. So, you know, you get blown up in the process because you're not paying attention.
It feels right. I mean, I want a toilet.
Okay, you win.
At least have porta pots out on the battlefield. You make runs for it, you know.
Okay, yeah, but see, here's an advantage. You got the male version of the enemy running at you. Run them panties up a flagpole. They're going to stop and look. Target-rich environment. You tell me the enemy's not.
Well, I figured I'd call in and check in with you guys. I really haven't heard from you, so you know, I want you to keep in touch. You know, I see you on Twitter, so I'll try to hang out there and stay in touch with you guys.
Tell us about your organization. Phil?
Pardon me, I didn't hear that.
Tell us about your organization.
Oh, the Independent Party of Delaware. Well, you know, it's Democrat run here, but that's only the northern part of Wilmington area, you know, the city area. You know, the southern part, it's, you know, they're all Trump supporters down here. And, you know, you're talking about election fraud and everything going on. You know, I think Delaware perfected it. No one can catch it, you know. We're only one electoral college. You know, you can keep it small and shady. You got the pharmaceuticals and the richy rich hiding in Delaware. And, you know, you got, you know, Rehoboth Beach is the gay capital of Delaware where Biden hangs
why
out.
Why am I not surprised that is Pedo Pete's hometown?
Yeah, and, you know, it's been going on for a long time. I'm amazed it took this long for people to wake up.
I realized a couple of years ago, Nancy Pelosi's father and brother were both mayors, I believe, of Baltimore at one time. Right in that whole area seems like rotten anymore.
Yeah.
Glad we got people.
But, we're looking for patriots to run. That's the hardest thing is we're trying to get people to run, but they think if they run independent, they don't have a chance, you know, and I'm telling them that, you know, the Republicans are kind of fumbling the ball here, you know. I think MAGA and the Republican Party are kind of two separate parties at the moment.
MAGA's
going to be looking for a home. And I think if we grew the Independent Party and made the Independent Party MAGA, you know, we could save a lot of headaches trying to start a party from scratch that everyone agrees on. You know, the Independent Party, it just needs leadership.
I saw a somebody put a survey up on X yesterday that what should a new party be called if there was a new one named, and I just said simply the silent majority.
Right. Well, I think independent, because that way you're not left, you're not right, you know. You're running on your own platform. The people are voting for the candidate, which is an individual. And I think party lines, party should be away from the candidate as much as possible. You know, you don't want a candidate that's going
to
kiss a party's butt all the time.
Yeah, it should be a party for the people, not the candidate.
Exactly. So that's why I'm saying independent means that the candidates make their own ideas. That you know, everything depends on them. The party's backing them. They just gotta make, you know, we just gotta vet them good.
Yeah,
you know, patriotic.
What do you think about an independent party, Bill?
I like the silent majority because I think it crosses all parties. Because I still in my heart believe there are some conservative Democrats. It's hard to see them on social media because they're the silent majority, right?
Bro, but you just named a new endangered species.
Well, yeah, but they're the JFK party. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
JFK ran today, he'd be hated as much as Trump by the Democrats.
Trying to start a party from scratch is hard, you know. At least we have a state board and we have, you know, board members. You know, we're just trying to get national.
Yeah. I believe there are Trump supporters who are, you know, Republican who just stay quiet because they don't want all the animosity slung at them. I believe there are independents that support Trump but stay quiet because they don't want the animosity thrown upon them. So I like that title, Brian, the silent majority.
Well, I wish they wouldn't stay silent because that's what's hurting us.
Right. Well, I was a Republican my whole life and, you know, never voted. And I never voted for Trump the first time. I thought he'd fit right in with the crowd. And, you know, he said he was going after the swamp, and it wasn't until he actually did and that they all hated him that I thought we had a chance in life. And, and then the Republicans, they all turned their backs on him the first impeachment, and that's when I went independent. I'm like, you know, it's a uniparty. You know, the only way to have any kind of common sense going on is have a real third party, not, you know, two parties that are actually one.
Which is what we have now.
Exactly.
I just need to
build an independent party fast. We just need the states to actually have an independent party and the states join together and go nationally. You know, so, you know,
they just can't
seem
to
lot of opening
work for us.
Well, there's only one party, and that's the party of greed. There is
absolutely
no right side. There
absolutely
is no left side. And, you know, that's long gone.
Yeah, right. I think you have the pharmaceutical companies and against the oil companies. Somewhere in there, there's a supply chain issue that costs one or the other more money.
Unfortunately.
All right, guys, well, I'll let you have your fun. I just wanted to check in with you, and nice listening to the show.
Well, we appreciate you dropping in, Brother Phil.
All right, man. Have a good night, y'all.
You take it
bye,
easy.
Bye, Phil.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night. All right, maybe if you gave the silent majority their own party, they might not be so silent.
I think that might be something we need to look into, Bill.
What's that?
I said I think that might be something we could look into.
Yeah.
Silent majority. I like to
give people a voice.
Yeah. And that is what we are here for tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you think about all these protests popping up now?
Well, there's a lot to protest, but unfortunately, it depends on what side you're on, how you're treated. And people on the conservative side are I think, gun-shy because of January 6th. I think that was one of the main goals of that,
mm-hmm.
was to silence us more and make us afraid of the DOJ and unfair judicial practices.
Well, apparently they don't know people like us.
No, they don't.
Wrong.
Wrong.
And like I say, though, they can't arrest us all.
And no, ma'am, they cannot.
They see in numbers. And, you know, and turnaround's fair play. I mean, we...
Yeah.
no.
I know how you feel, girl.
You know, I just believe that that sheriffs, get off your lackadaisical butts and make some citizens arrest. And if you don't do it, it is our civic duty to do it. We the people.
What I am waiting for is, now that all these January 6 tapes are out, I'm waiting for the arrest of the murderer of Ashley Babbitt.
You know,
yes.
Is that going to really happen, though? Michael Bird, will it happen? No, it won't. It won't happen because, again, the silent majority, as you call them, I mean, they're pansies. And then why aren't they speaking up?
We have been. That's why we're here tonight.
They're okay. Present company excluded. Present company excluded. Okay, Brian. But no, it is crazy that Republicans, well, because they're on the take, you know, they're greedy.
Well, a lot of people are desensitized anymore, too. You got to remember that. People think they're watching a damn... All they see is clips and bits and pieces of everything and anything. They think they're watching a reality show on TV.
Well, and that's... that. Again, it was designed that way.
Programming.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
and I actually
got swept up and under that whole fiasco, right? Eva, I agree with you. I think given the current administration and leadership, that man will never be charged. But that's what we've got to fight for, is a new administration, new leadership, because, you know, if you believe that was an insurrection, if you believe that Trump people stormed the castle, you know, and were vandalizing and terrorizing, right, then it's a lot easier to accept that there was some collateral damage, right, and that man was just doing his job. He was just doing his job and therefore shouldn't be held accountable for what happened while he was doing his job. A lot of police officers, and I support the police 100%, but a lot of police officers get away with immunity because they're put in positions to do things and stuff happens, right? So then you have bad police officers who leverage that and get away with a lot of stuff. And
yeah.
So the first thing, and I think we're doing it now with the release of these videos, is getting the awareness out there that these are peaceful protesters, right? I posted today an article that had a video in it that showed that before there was any storming of anything, before anybody breached any barrier, the Capitol Police, you know, shot stun grenades, smoke bombs, you know.
Yeah, they were using
bullets.
the paintballs with the pepper spray in them.
Yeah, those. And
I saw that video.
But they were doing it from an elevated position, which those things are not made to, you're not supposed to use that in that manner. And so it was hitting people in the face and the head. And they shot towards the back of this crowd of peaceful protesters. And what is that going to do?
It's going to
make
push
everybody
them forward.
And now you've got all the smoke in the air, and then the press and everybody used that imagery of looked like people storming, right, and being, you know, and the poor police officers were just defending themselves. No, they weren't. They opened fire on an unarmed crowd. They
nice,
created,
easy way to make it look like an insurrection.
Right, and I just asked the question, was the intent to incite this, to make it look like an insurrection? I just asked the question. I didn't state my opinion. And it's up to like 40-something thousand views. I posted that around noon today. And there's a lot of people speaking up on both sides. You know, the people who have gobbled up the January 6th committee perspective on it and the mainstream media's perspective on it. And, oh, we saw it. Well, you saw what they showed you 3 years ago. I'm now showing you the truth, right? So just open your mind a little bit. Watch the video.
Oh, man, you're asking a lot.
Right? Yeah.
Open your mind a little bit.
Let go of your hatred for the orange guy for a second, right? And ask, is this how Americans should be treated? And is this what really happened, right?
Well, see, that's the thing. They don't care how Americans are supposed to be treated.
It's like it can't state, you know, when they called in the National Guard. And for literally, it was a peaceful protest, and four kids young adults were murdered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, and it was not supposed to happen after that. But now you have Nancy Pelosi and her cronies. You know, it is just, it was an insurrection. And I heard the chief of police talk, you know, when he was begging Nancy Pelosi to stand down, and she wouldn't. She wouldn't call off her
watchdog.
She
denied the National Guard to come into Washington, D.C., too.
You know, it is totally, completely ridiculous, and people really need to use discernment if they watch, you know, mainstream media or even read it. You know, they have to really use discernment when viewing this, because 99% of the time, if the television is telling you one thing, it is totally, completely opposite.
That, amen. That is true.
And
if a politician tells you.
Oh, for sure. Especially a politician. Nancy Pelosi, you know, this is one of my
never waste an opportunity.
Exactly.
Never
let
waste
a good
crisis
go to waste.
Never waste.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you.
Rahm Emanuel.
Never waste a crisis.
And in this instance, they created the crisis so
they
that
did.
They could not let it, right? And they got the mainstream media behind them. And they've got the FBI and Antifa and everybody else behind them to drive that. And you have to ask the question, why? Why did they do that?
Exactly. Because they don't like Trump. And it was more it was more beyond, you know, his mean
tweet. I think it's more than they don't like him. I think it's more. I think it's more of he's standing in their way.
Well, what was happening? What was happening that day? Right, they were going to debate the electoral, you know, college. They were going to debate the validity of the election, and was there any corruption, right? They were going, and they could not let that be the news story. And we saw a lot of, you know, weak-kneed Republicans who were going into those meetings saying, I'm going to fight, and because of the supposed insurrection, completely caved, and went along with it.
Well, I think that they were in cahoots and they knew exactly what was going on also. I think that, like I said, I don't believe that there is a two-party system. There is no blue side. There is no red side. There is no Republicans. There is no Democrats. There's a party of greed, period.
What do you think of the vice president at that time? Like what? Was he always in on it, or did he just become corrupt at the moment?
I don't think he always was.
Right.
Oh, I think he was always.
I think he was always
corrupt. There was something about Mike Pence that always drove me crazy. Maybe it's his black eyes. But he has
he's too perfect.
You know, Mike Pence. Plus, there's a story going around that he's a pedophile also, and he molested a young boy, and the young man ended up dying. I'm sorry?
I said, I don't know about that, but I think he's a little light in the lopers.
Here's my fear. Just like they call all of us racist, right? That is now kind of our mantra. Any Republican, Democrat who is acting audaciously, they're a pedophile. Right. Now, I'd like to see their name on the Jeffrey Epstein list. I'd like to see every one of them persecuted, whoever, no matter what side they're on. But I don't want to throw that around so lightly. One of the things I admired about him, he wouldn't meet alone with any woman reporter unless his wife was there. He didn't. That's a
true,
strong, very, very strong conservative view, right? That I want integrity and I don't want there to be a perception of impropriety, right, in what I'm doing. And I admired that about him. But his actions on that day and since then, and especially since then, and what he's been saying about Trump since then, just baffled me. And it's, you know, did this man get possessed? What happened to him? You know?
I think he's a good actor.
People can say anything, okay? And sure, he said it. Did he mean it? I don't know.
He took a lot of heat. He took a lot of heat for it, and he didn't waver on that topic.
But big deal.
You know,
but what's
big
he getting in return?
Look at what he got in return. And you have to question, okay, he's the only one in Trump's inner circle that did not get raided or arrested. And Pence was Donald Trump's VP.
Well, but
so
since he's taken the position he's taken, right? And obviously they're not going to go after him because he's saying and doing what they want him to do now.
Yeah, because I think that he was a plant.
No, I think it's the same thing to him that they're doing to his lawyers down in Georgia.
You know, so
I think he may have been on Jeffrey Epstein's list and they had that on him. Maybe, you know, I don't know. I don't want to go back to that, but
he very well could be. But I have heard, and there has been no denial that he molested and murdered a young man.
I've not heard that one. Share something with me on that. That's one I haven't heard.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one out.
Check it out.
More research. Good Lord.
But, you know, it's crazy how many people Trump had around him. And, you know, Bill Barr, A number one, get rid of that clown. Man, he was swimming side by side with those swamp dwellers.
What amazes me is every time one of these people come out against him, they got a book.
I'll defend Trump a little bit, right? Because one of the reasons I was successful in my career is I followed the Reagan model, right? You surround yourself with excellent people, right? And I believe Trump thought, you know, Bill Barr was it, right? I thought he was at the time because I believe what Trump said about him, right? Bill Barr is the guy. He's going to bring it, right? And then he didn't. So you surround yourself with what you believe are excellent people who are the best at what they do, and then you empower and enable them, and you let them do it. You don't micromanage them. I agree. He obviously picked the wrong swamp rats. You know, he didn't know. And they turned on him. You can't micromanage. He couldn't do every one of those jobs, and you had to find somebody, since he wasn't a politician, right, with years of political office, he had to find people in those arenas who were and were good at what they did, at least on their resumes, and then empower them. And then I think he has found out, and I hope he doesn't do it again.
I think he learned his lesson.
But yeah. Bill Barr also was a higher up in the FBI during Waco. What does that tell you? I mean, that speaks volumes.
I never trusted the Bush family to begin with. Daddy was CIA.
But Waco happened during Clinton. The Bushes can't be trusted. I mean, look at Barbara Senior. You know, she's Aleister Crowley's bastard child.
Never heard that one.
That's quite a resume.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then they're you know, Nazi sympathizers, if not Nazis themselves. Prescott Bush, the whole lot of them.
And they're all the Cross and Skull, you know, societies.
Yeah. Skull and crossbones.
Yeah,
you know that the Bush family has been investing in the Bin Laden family money for many, many, many years.
You mean Kim Osman, that worked for the CIA, that was CIA trained? That's who Osama Bin Laden was. Gosh. I'm just throwing all this knowledge out there tonight.
Well, if you dig into the history of the Afghan wars, right, we backed Bin Laden and the Taliban to fight the Russians.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we were funneling money into those people for years, and then they turned on us.
Yep.
Right?
But did they turn on us?
Yeah, they turned on us.
Because there always has to be a boogeyman. And, you know, ever since I was, you know, little, Russia's been the bad guy, the bad guy, the bad guy. And, you know, just like this stuff that's happening between Ukraine and Russia. Oh, my goodness. You know, it is so sad that our money, the taxpayers' money is going to fund a useless cause. You know, because all it is money that is recycled back to our government and not to we the people.
Ukraine?
Not to we the people. Ukraine has lost, okay? Anybody that that goes up against Russia they're pathetic. And that's exactly
what
Zelensky is.
Gucci bag?
Zelensky is he's a loser. He's an actor.
Not even a good one at that. I watched some of his shows.
Oh my gosh. I saw this video where he's like parading around femme fatale and oh my goodness gracious. And plus he's a cokehead.
The famous Vogue video.
Yeah, but he's
well,
a cokehead.
We know Biden loves cokeheads.
We know that he loves.
One of them's the smartest man he knows.
Exactly.
He
not
loves.
He can't be too stupid. He's a convicted felon, and he's still flying on Air Force One.
Yeah.
Hey, if there's any political parasites out there that are listening to the show and actually want to chime in and dispute anything that is being said, the phone number is 319-527-6092. Again, 319-527-6092. Please press 1. That will indicate that you want to chime in, and we'll bring you into the studio.
You've touched
and
on two topics.
When I said
sorry?
Huh? When I said political parasites, I meant anybody in Congress, the Bush, the Biden, you know, anybody like that that's listening to the show, the NSA, you know, call in.
FBI. They're listening.
Oh,
they're always
Lord.
Listening. It's time for them to talk.
Right.
Oh, you touched on two topics that I think we started to talk about last time, and that are near and dear to my heart. Right, is taxation and war.
Yep.
So if we go back to, you know, the Constitution, you know, the government was put in place for the sole purpose of protecting the citizens, period. And that means military, that means, you know, whatever it takes to protect the citizens. And to fund that, I mean, the taxes that were collected back then, because we were very anti-tax way back then, right?
Right.
were to be received from the company, you know, owners, corporations, period. It wasn't until the recession and the war that the government felt they needed to fund, you know, they needed more funds to do that, right, to protect the citizens from themselves, right, because they, you know, the recession hit and there were a lot of people who could not or did not plan well for the retirement, did not save, and because of that, you know, fell in a hard way, and then they needed to fund the war effort, right? So they started Social Security, and Social Security, to get around the loophole of the Constitution, it, you know, once we were given a Social Security number, we were incorporated. Each individual was incorporated, and they used that incorporation to get credit from foreign entities to fund the United States for the war effort, right, and for all the social programs they put in place after the recession. And that created an addiction by the government. They needed more wars to justify the taxation, right, that they were putting on the people, because it – you know, kind of felt like, well, we'll get taxed, and then the war will end,
and then, you know, we won't be taxed so much. No, no. Once you give the government a dime, they'll take a dollar, right?
Give them an inch,
for
take
sure.
A mile.
So the government, both parties, right, required a war because the war generated the war engine, you know, the industrial war complex, and it generated, you know, funding for foreign countries everywhere. We got into the business of, you know, policing the world and protecting oil from abroad, because if, you know, if our oil lines were jeopardized, then that's a what do they call it? A national
crisis.
Crisis. It's a crisis. This is another word for it. It'll come to me, right? So it justified us, you know, going into Afghanistan, going into Iraq, going into, you know, to protect our sources of oil, right? And that then also then generated lots of revenue for the war complex, therefore put in the pockets of the politicians, and it just, it's, you know, the government has become so dependent, and look at what we're now funding with our tax dollars. Look at how many trillions of dollars we give to other countries and to other efforts,
yeah,
right, and not to the United States citizens. And then they further stole from us by multiple ways in Social Security, right, tapping into Social Security to fund their pork projects, and then increasing the age of retirement, right? So now you got to work longer to be able to collect your money that was supposed to be there for you to protect you, right, in the future, and you know, trying to do away with Social Security altogether. They've stolen from us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
continue
never
to
the intent of the Constitution. And so what do you, those are my thoughts on those two topics. I'm very interested in your thoughts as well.
They continue to steal from us. That's the only way that they can keep funding their war machine.
Yeah.
If every one of us stop paying our taxes, what are they going to do?
They can't arrest us all. That's the whole point that I'm trying to get across. I mean, why weren't we in the streets marching when they tried to mandate, you know, the vaccines and stuff like that? And it's totally completely ridiculous. And yeah, there was a saying, and war is great for the economy. And back then, I guess, you know, and I hate to say that, because these wars are like willy-nilly. There's always something more to it than, you know, North Korea invading South Korea and vice versa, you know, as far as the Vietnam.
Somebody's always invading
action.
Somebody.
And why the heck are we in Afghanistan besides protecting the poppy fields for heroin, because against this fictitious war against drugs? There is no war against drugs. None.
Well, they also,
that
they
war
also
failed a long time ago.
Russia, right?
None
also
whatsoever.
Russia is the big evil, you know, demon that we have to fight against. So wherever Russia is fighting, we have to get involved in defense.
And,
right.
You know, but another thing, the Afghanistan thing, you know, we're over there protecting our rights and stuff like that. No, get your butts over here in the United States and protect our rights here. Protect our borders, protect us.
They need to,
you
make
know,
sure our country's safe and secure first.
That's just like when you're on the airplane. What is the first thing the flight attendant tells you? Okay? You put the mask on yourself. You don't put it on your neighbor.
That's a great analogy.
And it is just so sad. Again, I mean, this is, you have to use discernment when these people are talking. They're so full of crap, and they're trying to spoon-feed this crap to you.
They can feed it to somebody else because I ain't eating.
it has sprinkles. It has sprinkles on it. You know? But it is. And people are just, the government and mainstream media has people so frightened. You know, I knew right away that this Ronish crap was exactly that. Was how many CCTVs, and this stuff was coming out of communist China to us. You know, you see these people that are walking down the street, minding their own business, and then all of a sudden they keel over dead, and then the CCTV, you know, zooms into them. Okay, for one thing, CCTV does not do that, okay? They don't zoom in. And these people just keeling over dead in the street. Did you hear of anybody in the United States that was doo-doo-doo walking down the street and then all of a sudden they keeled over from the Rona? No, you didn't.
It's not how it worked.
No.
You know, it was the upper respiratory. Basically, it was the flu. And even when you have the flu, you don't just walk down the street and keel over.
Nope.
Not how it works.
And that's and coronavirus is an umbrella term, in which you're right, Bill. Because
just like SARS.
Because it all falls under coronavirus. And the common cold is under coronavirus.
Yep.
And so people just,
that's why a lot of people lost their minds when they looked at the back of the Lysol bottle and said it killed coronavirus.
the surgical masks tell you on the box too that it's not going to protect you. The surgical masks are there
I'm
for
I'm going to use the same analogy that I used last time. If a fart, or if your pants or your underwear ain't going to catch a fart, the mask ain't going to catch the Rona.
It's so ridiculous what people bought into. And then, you know, the only reason why they put people on ventilators was to subdue them so that they couldn't have a say in what was going on.
Which was the absolute worst thing to do with an upper respiratory.
Right.
Like, uh-huh. You're having problems breathing. Now breathe through this straw.
Right? Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm emotional
on
that one because my
I have
my
COPD and I
yeah?
have seizures. When the coronavirus first hit, I got it. I had it for 4 days, no jab. I took vitamin D3, I got rest, and I drank plenty of fluids. It was no different than the flu for me.
But, Bill, I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Well, my mother died of cancer, and she spent a long time in the hospital, and I sat by her side for over a month in the ICU, and they put her on a respirator, right? And it's this, you know, it's basically a straw down your throat into your lungs that you have to breathe through. Now, they,
uh-huh.
you know, once you're unconscious, they, you know, pump air into it. And so my whole point was, and when she got off that, she said, I don't care whatever happens to me again, you know, let me die. Never put me on a respirator again. It was her biggest fear, having to breathe through that straw, right? So mm-hmm. if you have a severe upper respiratory problem, constricting your breathing to a straw is the exact opposite of what you should ever do. You know, unless you stop breathing all together on your own, right? But the way they utilize that,
And the fact that hospitals got paid three times the, you know, whatever they would get paid for the virus if the person died on a respirator opens it up to huge, you know, misuse.
You just hit the nail right on the head.
Right?
Right.
So, 'cause I was against that from day one. It made no logical sense to me why they would be doing what they were doing. And then I found out
right.
the financial benefit to it.
Oh, 40 grand. 40 grand a pop when they put somebody
right.
on a respirator.
Right.
Imagine what they were getting from the nursing homes.
Yeah. How about the people that get in car accidents and died during this Rona crisis? And
they inflated the numbers so bad it's ridiculous.
On the death certificate, they put, you know, cause of death due to Corona-19. And it's like,
or complications from.
Yes, and you got in a car accident, had absolutely nothing, because, and families went along with it because they got paid.
Yep, almighty dollar.
I personally know a family that got paid, and
which is kind of ironic.
Their loved one did not die to complications of the coronavirus or COVID-19.
I find it kind of ironic that these people did this for the money, and the people that actually released the virus are trying to devalue said dollar.
Right.
Right. You know, it's so utterly sad.
That's
but again,
stupidity to me.
It, you know, but it's all about greed.
Greed.
The almighty dollar.
Well, and the fear factor. Again, what did the politicians get out of it? Control. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Everybody's afraid. And when people are afraid, they trust their government to do the right thing. Right? And my view, I mean, I was monitoring. I'm all about measurements. I measure everything I do. And I'm all about measurements. And I was monitoring the true measurements, like you said, Eva, the death rate, right? And the death,
right.
You know, yeah, the COVID-19 death rate skyrocketed, but heart attacks disappeared. The flu disappeared. Motorcycle
mm-hmm.
accidents
oh,
disappeared.
Totally eradicated,
right?
Man.
And if you look at the total number, it wasn't a major change. It could be accomplished just by increase in birth rates, right?
Yep.
But yeah, more people died this year than they did last year because more people were born.
Right.
But yeah, but so if you took anything, if you did it this year and said, we're going to 24/7, put it up on every mainstream media, every social media, how many people die of the flu, right, or a heart attack.
Yep.
Right, and that's all we're going to focus on, and we're going to throw it in your face every hour, every day. We're going to show it to you by state, right, by city where you live, by country, like they did with COVID-19, right? People would be like, oh, my God, why are people dying of all these heart attacks? Why are people dying of motorcycle accidents, right? No, they always died of those things. But you
right.
never put a microscope on it and focus on it solely and just talk about death, 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 right? It was a fear factor.
Yep, exactly.
Right.
And how many people bought into that fear? Well, I'll be, you know, sign me up for the vaccine. You know, I never got the prick, and I never got the Rona. Okay, I haven't had the flu and knock on wood in so many years, probably 20 years. And reason being is because I take the right stuff. You know, and if I'm around anybody that has even a cold, I will come home and I will start my homeopathic regime, you know, and a regiment. And yeah, I just am, I'm just dumbfounded how many people just willy-nilly, you know, here's my arm, give me that prick, and it just, it breaks my heart, because, man, I have a lot of family members and a lot of friends that got the prick, and then, you know, an experimental drug.
I'm not a guinea pig.
I'll tell you a personal statistic, right? I used to have a high-stress job, and every year, I mean, I would work round the clock every year till it came to Christmas, and I would take the last 2 weeks of the year off, and I would get the flu. It would turn into bronchitis. I'd get pneumonia every single year because my body just said, I'm done. You know, I'm done.
Right.
And the stress caught up to me, and I just fell apart. So my doctor put me on, you know, I had every year I had to get the flu shot. You know, you don't want to get what you got last year. Well, I still got it. Every year I'm getting these flu shots, and I'm still getting it. You know when that stopped? Right before coronavirus hit, right? Huh. I stopped getting the flu shot. And I started, you know, like you said, Brian, I started taking D3 and K2 vitamins,
yep.
Like high dosage every single day. And I've taken it to today, you know, I take it every single day. I started just not, you know, controlling my stress, basically. Actually, I'd retired from IBM at that point. So that helped.
That's one way to control it.
That helped a lot. Right. But I've not even gotten a cold since coronavirus got. No, I did not get the shot. I did not get a mandatory vaccine. I did not. At that point, I was against all of that stuff because it didn't work.
I think that's where I was lucky growing up the way that I did, because I grew up in the mountains in Pennsylvania and the swamps in Florida. I've been all over the country before I was 18 years old. And I think my body got, and my immune system just got used to all that different environment and everything that I was in.
Right.
That I got a hell of an immune system.
Well, and that's another big topic, right? Our own immune system, right?
Natural immunity.
Natural immunity, right? And everybody stopped talking about natural immunity, starting with Fauci down, right?
Mm-hmm.
As if it disappeared and it's not a thing anymore, right? It's absolutely a thing. That's how we fought diseases in the past, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Get
it out there
and
let it get killed.
Look at what the Amish did. The Amish exposed everybody, well, almost everybody, to the virus so that they would get it and get it over and done with. And there was little to no, you know, cases of COVID-19 in the Amish community. The Amish have it right. You know,
or the homeless community.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's right.
Homeless
community
was real low.
Exactly. Exactly. But I just wanted to also let you know that if you are taking D3, you need to take magnesium with that. Well,
oh, yeah.
Magnesium, and because it actually activates it. And
yep.
I was taking, and there's I don't know how many different kinds of magnesium, but you can be taking the wrong kind of magnesium.
Well,
I
take the lowest dose
taking.
I can get because of the Crohn's disease.
And you have to be careful, Brian. You
yeah,
know, but I take zinc, D3, and magnesium daily. It's a ritual with me.
K2 does the similar job as magnesium, because magnesium has the side effect of loosening your bowels, which is a problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
oh,
so
okay.
Citric magnesium is a good supplement, but you got to take it in small volumes because it will, you know, basically run your system. But
so
that's why I take. That's why I take.
He said that was K2. Okay, I'll make a note to myself.
Yeah, that when you're talking about Bill as a natural laxative.
Yeah, it really is. If you need a laxative, that's the way to go.
Oh, big time.
That and castor oil. They both
wow,
have
okay.
We'll get off that subject.
I will definitely get some K2 then and incorporate it into my daily regimen.
That was a crap subject.
Brian, I found that out the hard way. I'm like, I bought that out of years Eva told me. You know, you basically, it comes in a powder form and you can put it in any drink. So I was putting in my coffee, you know, or water or whatever. And it's like,
he
I was running
the last 25 minutes of the show to leave me with visions in my head.
Thank you, Bill.
These are important things that need to be talked about, because you're only telling you know, a certain amount of people, then it's not getting out there. I think it's of vital importance that people know these kind of things, and so
they did a global study on the effects of vitamin D, D3 specifically, and the health benefits towards, you know, avoiding or minimizing any effects of COVID-19. I think it was, I'll remember, John Hopkins did a global study, and it was significant. It was huge. The vast majority did not get COVID, and if you did get it, it didn't really have any big impact on you. And it obviously helped with the flu and other common illnesses as well.
And what exactly were they doing to us? They were locking us down. No, stay in your houses. Don't get that sunlight. The sunshine that God, you know, put there for us to, you know, so nothing made sense as far as that went. And, you know, now there's a new variation out and RSV and stuff like that. I don't get like regular TV. I get like, I don't know, Tubi and Roku and stuff like that. But they are like pushing this RSV for infants. And you know what, Bill? Huh. It is reverb because I can hear myself.
Uh-oh.
So it is reverb. So it's okay. I'll just try
maybe
and
you
lower
have a
my
very
voice
good mic. Me. You have a very good mic, and you picking me up
big time.
No, but you can hear it if you go to the archives after the show. About 15 minutes after the show, you'll be able to hear it on the show too. So it's not just my mic.
What?
You're not using a microphone, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm just using my speaker.
And you know what? That may be the problem.
I think that might be.
You may need a microphone. You know, I just have like a $20 headset what's it called? Best Buy. And
well, hell, yours are even better than mine. I'm not using my setup right now. I'm using a $5 pair from Dollar General.
And so So you may want to just invest $20 or what have you into a headset, and I bet you dollars to donuts, that's one of my mom's sayings, that it will cut that out.
I'll give it a try.
Awesome.
And or you can go to Dollar General and get a $5 pair.
How much?
I've got a wide range of options now.
Yeah, I don't think Bill's wanting for headphones.
It messes up my hair.
Yeah, that's messed up because I got a bald head too.
So here's a thought I had, you know, early on, you know, when you saw Trump and Fauci up on stage and they're going through all the data and all this stuff, right? I just have this kind of sense of humor, right, that whenever Trump would just kind of throw in there, right, he literally would just throw in there, I heard hydroxychloroquine's good, right? I felt like he knew everything Fauci was saying was BS, and he knew this worked, and he would just throw it out there. Hey, you guys might want to try this, right?
Yep.
And if that, you, we found, and obviously Fauci and everybody jumped on, oh, that's the worst thing you can do, blah, blah, blah. I heard ivermectin's good, right? We're getting some good results of that. He would just kind of throw it out there in a news conference, and he was right. Right? We now know.
The man's been right about everything.
He was right, but he didn't overrule his guy. He just, I heard this was good, and it all, I, you know, and maybe I'm narcissistic or something. I took it as kind of personal messages from Trump. Try this. Don't listen to that guy. Try this. Try this. So I don't know.
Wink,
yeah,
wink.
It's
exactly.
Just,
wink, wink, nod, nod.
It's just so sad. And from what I'm understanding, still to this day, Fauci is collecting monies from We the People.
Well, I think Rand Paul is going to have a little bit more to say about that.
Well, you know, doggone it, something, you know, there's one thing about saying it, but actually implementing it and arresting this guy is a total different story.
Well, yeah, but you know as well as I do, this guy's been doing this for how long now? That's a deep rabbit
goodness,
hole
please.
They need to get evidence from.
Well,
you know, but
let me jump on that for a second, right? So my work with IBM, I work primarily with pharmaceutical companies in FDA-regulated environments. And Fauci was involved in the, you know, AIDS. And the AIDS,
yeah,
you know,
right,
medications, some very good medications that came out, right? But he was working with a company that the way the you know, drugs are patented, right? You come up with this banner drug, and the companies pay billions of dollars to do research to discover the drug. They then can have 3 to 5 years of a patent protection, right, where they're the only ones who can make it and sell it. And after that, it falls off, and the other pharmaceutical companies can make a generic brand of it, right? So the pharmaceutical companies are constantly looking for the next pipeline of, you know, the drug, even if it's a current drug or a new drug. So with the AIDS drugs, they were constantly researching a better version of the drug. And this is what Fauci was guilty of. That company, let's say they were in year two of their 5-year, you know, patent protection, they came up with a drug that was exponentially better, would save millions of more lives, right? But if they released it, it would kill the sales of the first version. So they kind of kept it on the shelf for 2-3 years, whatever was left on the patent. Didn't release it, knowing it would save millions of lives, just so that they could run out the cash cow of that first drug and then kick in the next drug, which would be exponentially better than anything on the market. And while the other companies would try to do generics of the first one, they would fail because this new drug's out that's so much better. Why sell that drug? That's just evil. Is it
that
legal?
Is,
but
it shouldn't
evil.
Be.
Right.
It is
not
legal. It will just like the FDA. You know, I'm convinced that FDA is the acronym for Food Death Agenda. And the FDA, you know, they boast and they, you know, this take this pill for this, and then all of a sudden you hear on the TV, if you are having side effects from such and such drug, you know, contact this lawyer to sue them. And a lot of this stuff, we'll use aspartame because I'm allergic to aspartame. You know, aspartame was actually designed as jet fuel. And they found out how sweet it was, and so they started using it as a sweetener. And I thank you, God, for me being allergic to it. You know, but it is in, it's in doggone everything. But now, you know, the hammer came down upon aspartame, so they took it off the market, wink, wink, did not, and they just renamed it. And it's still in diet sodas. And come on, people, diet sodas are the worst thing that you could be drinking to lose weight, because it actually makes you crave the foods that you're not supposed to be eating to lose weight. And it is crazy. But it's a vicious, vicious cycle. And the Food Death Agenda, FDA, you know, has their mitts in everything. And they're making a slew of money off We the People.
There you go again.
They have a pill out for uncontrollable laughing.
Well,
they do.
They should have.
I might need that pill here in a minute.
Yeah.
I might need it here.
Who out of us three need that pill?
Oh God.
You know, but this is the ridiculous. Okay, it is natural to laugh. Okay,
and you know, when you said that, Eva, it brought back the Jetsons, a pill for everything.
Well, yeah. They do. They literally they have a pill for everything.
Oh man, my dad used to go off the wall about that. God damn, the doctor's got a pill for everything. Oh, he would lose his mind.
Well, let me plant a conspiracy theory in your brain. This is not really a conspiracy theory, right? So pharmaceuticals, they're based off, there's nothing created out of nothing, right? Pharmaceuticals
right.
are all based on a plant from somewhere, right? A plant, a mold, like penicillin, right? The mold.
Right.
It's based on a plant. It's available for free if you know how to find that plant, extract that from the plant, right? Pharmaceuticals went out and found, you know, find these things. They patent them. They make money off of them. And then they dumb down society that you can go get this free. It's growing in your yard, right? The vast majority of weeds have healing properties. And I'm not making this up, right? That's where the root, you know, chemical of a lot of these medicines come from, right? Monsanto, right, is one of the, if not the world's largest pharmaceutical company, right, makes cancer drugs, right, and makes a lot of money off of cancer drugs. And there's one product that's just way outside the line of everything else that they make, and it's a weed killer, right? And
Roundup.
You might know the weed killer.
Roundup.
Roundup.
Roundup. What did you find out that Roundup did? Not only did it kill the weeds in your yard,
causes cancer.
Cancer, right? And therefore you need, it's like a complementary product, right? Therefore you need their cancer drug.
Now,
not
what's that famous phrase?
Set out to create cancer, right? What I'm saying is they set out to kill weeds, the very weeds that create the cures that they don't want you to do on your own, right?
Yeah,
well, wasn't that kind of like the same thing with the DDT back in the day when they were using it for plants?
Yeah, that's a bonus kill.
I always ask the question why, right? Why is Monsanto making Roundup? Right? Why?
Right.
They're a pharmaceutical company. Why are they so concerned about killing weeds? Right? And it wasn't until I got into more plant-based medicines that I found out, you know, or at least questioned for myself. Okay, well, now
right.
That makes sense. Right?
It's all about money.
There's actually a really good movie. They don't advertise it, and I don't know. It's kind of hard to find this movie. I saw it one time, and I've tried to find it again since, and it's called Side Effects, and it's with Catherine Heigl in it, and it's about,
I think I've heard of that.
You know, pharmaceutical companies. And it's a pretty good movie if anybody's interested in watching it. But yeah, this is crazy. Just like cancer, you know, they have things that I'm sure can cure cancer 100%. And they don't put that on the market or advertise it because curing cancer does not make them money.
Look up the health benefits of fake turkey tail mushrooms.
And
there's a very popular, very smart mushroom guy out there that his mother had cancer, and he was telling her you gotta try this turkey tail. You gotta try turkey tail. And it wasn't until she was, you know, stage four, he went with her to her doctor, and she's like, so I have no hope. And I loved his response. His response was, you always have hope. Never give up hope. Because when you give up hope, you will definitely die, right? You know, look into alternative medicines, look into, you know, different things. And the doctor said, you really should look into fake turkey tail mushrooms. And she's like, oh, really? I should do that. And the son was like, no, I've been telling you this for years. She was stage four, given 6 months to live or less, right? And her own son put her on, you know, his turkey tail, fake turkey tail supplements. And she's in total remission, has been for years.
And you were right about these plants. Just like the healing properties in, hemp, okay? You know that the government actually has the, what is it called? Starts with a P. The patent, thank you. The patent on the healing properties of hemp.
I don't doubt it.
And
it was the government.
The government
that put a smear campaign on it back in the 30s because it was poised to replace clothing, paper, and everything else.
Exactly, and that is the reason why. It's because greed, and more greed.
Money. Can't make a dollar off it if it's out there in your front
kinda,
yard growing.
Exactly.
Can you imagine how they
can't make a dollar.
There are so many weeds that grow in the wild that you need to get a weed book. And
can you imagine how they feel about the aloe vera plant?
Oh my gosh! You know,
that's got so many uses.
It does.
Wow.
Yeah.
It does.
But if pharmaceutical companies can't make a dollar off of it, the government can't tax those dollars, right?
Right.
And therefore, it must be suppressed. And
exactly.
You said something earlier, Eva, about the truth about, you know, wars feed the economy. Well, it does.
Right.
Nothing feeds the economy more than extra dollars in the pockets of American citizens. Reagan did this, right? Put more dollars in the pockets of the American citizens. They will buy more products from companies. They'll spend their discretionary income, right? And that feeds the economy. Cut the taxes and see how the economy grows.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Biden does the exact opposite. Bidenomics does the exact opposite. right? And we see the effect of that now, right? Try to buy a gallon of gas. Try to buy a gallon of water.
Well, you guys were talking about your gas prices. I just got gasoline in my car yesterday, and I went to Costco because they do have a better grade of gasoline, I feel. And $4.45 a gallon.
Oh, hell no.
Yikes. Yeah. No, that's what diesel costs here.
That's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's crazy about diesel because, okay, there is no refinement as far as diesel goes. And it was, you know, it started off to be so cheap. And then diesel skyrocketed past gasoline. And it's so crazy. And people just, I don't know, people, you need to get up.
Our country also refines its fossil fuels way better than most any other country on the planet.
Right. So if they cared about the planet, right, if they really cared about the planet, we wouldn't be buying, you know, oil from Argentina or gas from Argentina. And from China. Right, where they're so much less efficient and polluting the environment. Right, but they don't care about that. They just care about their cause.
Yeah,
exactly. And the obvious destruction of America, apparently.
Crazy.
Oh, for sure. For sure, though. Yeah. And it is just, it is so utterly
sad.
Well,
there you go. It all leads back to war and money.
War and money.
Yeah.
That's because it puts money in the politician's pocket. That's why it's a...
Well, I'm about tired of putting money in the politician's pockets. It's about time we start getting some money in our pockets.
And that's right. And, you know, and if people did quit paying taxes, which are illegal anyhow, because taxation is theft, and... you know, but
there's a way around it. There is a way around it. If you unincorporate yourself. Right?
Yes.
Oh,
my nephew did
for
it.
Sure.
Drop out of Social Security.
But there is a disadvantage to that. You get
there
no
is,
more government benefits or anything like that either.
But there are, it's our money. So what the heck, you know, you're born with a straw man. And so that straw man has debt, but they also have, I have to have my friend back on the show so he can explain the straw man and how you can actually get your birth certificate back. And that way, you know, and you can use your straw man to actually pay bills because you have X amount of money that is attached to that straw man when you are born. And you can't just say, hey, straw man, give me $100,000. No. But the time, Brian.
We are down to 45 seconds.
Wow. Time flies when you're having fun.
I think we had a fantastic show tonight, and I'm glad that Bill is my new co-host.
To be here.
This is
going to
be an
great
awesome journey, young man.
I just have to get a microphone then.
just get a headset. That's all I have is a headset. You know, the things that plug into your ear and it plugs into your phone. That's all I have.
It's like downside to Apple again. I have to get a special adapter to be able to plug in a headset to it. So I'll have to find that too.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the charger is, you can plug a headphone into the port, but you can't, it won't charge anymore. And
my
fear is a 2-hour call.
I am so done with Apple products. And I don't even own them.
I won't.
But anyhow, so if you wanted to just end the episode, that would be great, Brian.